Shall we commence by singing 394? Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you'll answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely. From you, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not. Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Chorus again.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Okay. Let's sing 397. And when Jacob met the Lord upon the lonely night. Do you know that one, Pete? No. I will leave that out. Go for all that you that mourn in Mount Zion, 357.
All you that mourn in Zion, I have authority. Appoint you in Zion. Zion, oil of joy that will set you free. From the garment of praise, spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Lift up your hands. And
I'll have a testimony soon. 352, create in me a clean heart. I'll get Brian to use the microphone for the testimonies, if any.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Testimonies. Sister Barbara. That's not working. That's it.
Just thank the Lord for healing my arm when I went out to pray this morning, and Howard put his hand on my arm, and I just felt the real healing of the Lord. And I had faith, but quite often I've just needed help with that faith as well, sort of two people praying instead of just me. So I thank the Lord, he's healed me.
That's the same thing when we come to church. I mean, you could say, well, I love the Lord and I just appreciate him, and you love him, but it's different when you come to church and share it with others. There's a bondness there, and that's really good. Same with when you're praying for a healing. Any others? Sister June?
I'd like to give thanks to the Lord. One incident in Greece, when we were in my dad's island of Ithaki, towards the end of our stay there, people started saying to us, do you know there's a strike coming for ferries and transport? And of course we didn't know anything about the news, what was happening, and oh no, we said. And when we went to pay for our rental car and sort of clear that up, the man said there's going to be a strike, and on Wednesday, and we were due to sail on Thursday, he said, you know, it could go on. Sometimes they go on for a week. And we thought, oh, we've got a ticket to fly out of Athens on Monday. And so we prayed and we just committed it to the Lord. And I mean, sometimes I did start to think what it would be like to live in Ithaki for a while, but but the Lord answered our prayer and we were able to sail on the Thursday across to the mainland. So just thank the Lord for answered prayer.
Amen. Sister Mel.
I truly like to thank the Lord. As you know, I'm 85 today and I never ever dreamt in them years ago that I'd reach that. And I just am so thankful to the Lord that this was three girls, that's Julie and my other sister, and we all in our 80s. And I really praise God for that. And also we've all had, three of us have had major cancer operations and we're still here to tell the Lord, tell a tale. I just thank the Lord. He is so good and I love him so much. And I thank him. I'm not going to die. I told him that. I'm going in the rapture. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, you have not because you asked. Well, I've asked him. He said, thank you, Lord. Take me in the rapture. And Robert, too. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's right. We need to believe it, put it in action, and tell others while we're doing it. Others will be inspired by our testimonies. Any others? Brother Pisa.
Thanks very much. Because when we walked in this morning, even we were a bit late, sorry about that, but when I heard Brother Howard's, you know, the scriptures he's been preaching about, I really believe this. We are in those right days, and I was just saying, praise the Lord, because what I've seen, lots of small things, big things, I believe what he was preaching this morning, these are the days, you know. And even it happens in the world. I've been saying this before when we hit one night on the prayer meeting, and still it the Holy Spirit is still talking to me and saying, These are the days. We are on the right tracks and all this. And I was just saying to myself, what about some other churches, some other people that doesn't really focus on these truths, you know? And I was just saying, Lord, it's yours. As long as we do our parts and we try our best, maybe some days we'll try and tell more about the whoever is going to be in this town. But even in my family, you know, sorry to say, well, it's just to say, God is here. He knows what I'm going to be speaking about. Even my daughter, our daughter, my wife, didn't want to listen to me. But these days, they start to listen. My wife, you know, we woke up early in the morning and we'd do some prayers, and she was really appreciating what I was saying, what I was trying for us to go through, you know. And praise the Lord, he's been doing a lot of things. Like our daughter, she didn't want to listen, but now she starts listening, you know. Praise the Lord, and that makes me really happy. And praise the Lord for all your prayers for us. We are really so grateful and joyful for what I've seen happening. Thank you very much.
Amen, Lisa. That's true. You know, we don't all preach a sermon, and we don't always talk like we would like to talk to some people. But the thing is, we can live the life and other people can see it without us realizing it, that we are the testimony the Lord put in front of them for that occasion. So let's be grateful for that. Any more? Okay, thank you, Brian. Well, let's sing one more, and then Brother Pisa and Sister Lita and Sister Malia will give us a song. So let's sing this verse, which will be 252, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Shall we stand as we sing? And Malia.
Be singing this Psalm 133, and hopefully Abinachi sister there to put it on the screen. So even we're singing tongue and words, but they're pretty much same. On that Psalm 7 verses, which the writer of the song, I didn't write it, which is singing, has been putting them all into three verses, two verses, and the one chorus. That's all the Psalm 133. Okay.
I'm not afraid.
Very nice. The Vi family. Very nice indeed. Lovely beat to it and spirit to it. Okay, I'll get Brother Howard to come at this point and bring what the Lord has for us.
Wonderful. So we just thank God for that. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Which says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So may God just bless his word, and we'll just pray now. Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon, and we just pray that you will just quicken something to us, Lord, that will encourage us to realize, Lord, as Sister Mel said, you're coming soon, Lord. We want to be ready. I pray that you'll bless each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this, "I am with you to the end of the world." Who believes we're at the end? So that's a very wonderful scripture to have. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world." Amen. So what a tremendous promise we have before us in this day in which we're living, to know that the Lord is with us unto the end of the world. Now, God cannot lie. He said it, and that settles it. If he says he's going to be here to the end of the world, who believes he's going to be here? Amen. So the end time has arrived. I said to Brother Brian Freeborn before he left for London that a few days ago, I said, "Well, we're at the end. This is what the end of the world's going to be. I never realised it's going to be this bad, where people don't want to go to church anymore, and those that do go just sort of doesn't mean a lot to them. They just go along with it. But we're living in tremendous time." And Jesus made this statement. I quoted it to Brother Brian, was that Jesus said, "When I return, will I find faith upon the earth?" That's, he had a doubt. At the coming of the Lord, will there still be faith? Well, I tell you what, there is going to be faith. And it's in my heart, and I trust it's in your heart. Praise be to God. So we've arrived. And every day becomes more ungodly. You just have to listen to the news and see those things. I'm getting to the stage where I don't want to hear the news anymore. It's just so depressing. We're living in such a godless generation. I don't want to get on that subject. Please, God forbid. There's so many things I could say that we're living in a horrendous time. We need God's help. This world is destitute of God's presence. They've got entertainment. I saw something this morning somebody sent me. All the churches have got their big programs, their big lights, their big rock bands, and everyone's just so happy and everything's sweet and dandy, and many of them, I believe, don't even know the Lord. And there's coming a day of reckoning when they get to the end of the way, they are not ready, because they're just caught up in enthusiasm and the momentum of everything happening, totally unaware. When Jesus was here, and the world saw him, seeing is not believing. You can see something, still not believe. You know that? I heard Brother Branham saying once that this man said, "If I saw a blind man eyes open, I still wouldn't believe." He said, "That's right." He wasn't expecting that. He said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's not for you. It's only for believers." Who believes the Lord? Amen. So we believe him. And we see with our eyes, but do we see with our heart? In John 14:17, the Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him." What is the answer? "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The only way you can see God really is to have him in you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the key, brothers and sisters. Get God inside of you. Not just come to church, not just see a miracle. Those things are very nice, but that doesn't give you the faith that we're looking for. But God has promised to be with his people. And that's how the Lord will be with us. Because he is in us. Wherever we go, he goes. Because he is in us. In Hebrews 13:5, we read this. "For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That is, thus saith the Lord. Now, if he said that, he's not going to leave you. Now, you may leave him, but he'll never leave you. Praise the Lord. And in Psalm 37:28, we read this. "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't forsake us. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. When the world is becoming more destitute of love, brother and sister, it really is. You see the way politicians speak to each other. There's no love. That's not love. When we see that happening, Jesus promised to be himself our comforter. I want to read this in John 14:18. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Hallelujah. Who's glad of that?
Amen.
Because he lives, we shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That is a relationship, foolproof relationship. At that day. So there is a day when he comes and he lives inside of us. When you personally are brought back into that original fellowship, there has to be a day for you to pass from death unto life. And how do you get life? It's when God comes into you. You cannot learn it. You cannot study it. You've got to have him come inside of you. Now, I'll tell you what, brother and sister, when God comes inside of you, you'll know he's inside of you. No one can talk you out of it. You may have your ups and your downs, but you know he's there.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart and all my soul. Praise the name of the Lord. So we step from the old creation we're born into a new creation which is in the Lord. Not by coming to church, not by professing the message of the hour and all those things, as good as that may be, but to be truly born again of an incorruptible seed. The seed is given to you by God. It's in you. It is God in you. It's nothing to do with you holding on to God. God's got you. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. God's got a hold of you, not you trying to hold on to God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now this comes right down to our relationship with God is the same as our relationship with our brothers and sisters. You're born into the family of God. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And you'll know that he has come in to stay. I can tell you, when God came into me on that Sunday night, it was raining, and he came into me, I knew he'd come into me, and he came in to stay. And he's been with me ever since. I've had my ups and downs, we all do, but he stays there with us. And he brings us through all these trials and testings we have to go through. So God predestinated incorruptible seed in you, and it's watered by his Spirit. The Spirit of God waters the seed of God in you. Brother and sister, if there's no seed of God in you, it's just hollow. Nobody home. You can talk about the Lord and they say, ah. But when he's in there, it thrills you. Who loves to be thrilled by the Lord? He's reality. So, brother and sister, we need to have the seed in us. Incorruptible seed is in you. No matter how corrupt the last day becomes, and it's getting bad. As I said, I don't want to go there. You see enough of it, hear enough of it. You can never corrupt with him. With a child of God has that incorruptible seed in there. Because we are born of an incorruptible seed. The seed cannot corrupt. You know why, Tim? Because it's God. It cannot corrupt in you. You may fall over and get up and fell down and go backwards and forwards, but the seed will hold. The incorruptible seed of God that's in you will hold you until he comes. And he's going to take us to that wedding supper. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I remember one time, I probably told you this, but our baby, our second baby, was born. And his name was Simon Peter. And he had a respiratory problem, wasn't it, June? Something like that. He couldn't breathe properly because he was born a little bit earlier, I think. Anyway, they put him in an incubator and all that sort of thing. Eventually he died. And I had a very amazing experience in my life. I cannot even express it. The presence of God came around me for 3 days. Everywhere I was, went, he was. There's just tears running down my cheeks. It wasn't emotion about our child. It wasn't that. But, you know, we knew. We went up to the hospital room. And my wife was sitting there as the sun was setting. And I said to my wife, beyond the sunset, some glorious morning, we're going to meet him. He'll be there waiting for us. That was such an experience I would never want to ever give away. I'm glad I had it. And you know what? I went into a shop and some people there, and they were just young Christians, and they said, tell us, bro, tell us. You know, it's all that's happened with your child and everything. How do you hold on to your faith? I said, I don't. It holds on to me. The faith that's in my heart held me. Not me holding on to my faith. It's got to be that way. You've got to be in Christ. Christ has got to be in you. It's a reality. You didn't learn it or become it somehow. It's given to you. Praise the name of the Lord. Really wonderful. I remember my brother Lee, not brother Lee, Russell. He was there and was out on the graveyard there. And I've got the song books. I go around giving everyone a song book. He said, how do you do that? You've lost your son. How can you be so joyful? So I haven't lost him. He's just gone on ahead of us. And I really believe that. So we gave out the song books, and there was a great joy in my heart that I could never express to you now. Only God can show you. I know that was the Lord sustaining me. The incorruptible seed was in me, and it was sustaining me, not me holding on to it. If God's got to hold on to you, he's got a hold of you, I'll tell you what, he's not going to let you go. He won't let you go. He's got you. Who's glad of that? It's just so wonderful. And not one shall be lost, no matter how corrupt the slightest in church age is. We will not be lost because he's got us. So what shall we see in this day that we're living? Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Sure did. Sure do. Be not amazed when men shall persecute you and say all manner of things against you, he said. One thing we'll see happening is a sure sign of falling away. You know, falling away means people drifting away from God. Don't go to church anymore. It's becoming more and more prevalent and more noticeable than ever before. There's just lack of interest, lack of desire. You know, this is true. You know, I'm telling you this. I have this often when I'm flying in an aeroplane and I'm flying, coming low or taking off, and I can see the ground quite well. And I'm looking down on the countryside, and I'm looking at all the little country roads, and I was thinking about that story about Jim and John last week, how they'd give anything to go down that old country road again to the country church and see that country preacher preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and people sing with conviction about the praises of God. Well, I'm looking down out there, and I'm looking down there, I'm really getting excited sometimes. I'm seeing a road going right down to a lonely little house. A little bit of smoke coming out of it. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they'll have a prayer meeting there tonight. I just want to be there. I just want to go back to that old time where we're just simple love for God. Praying to 11 o'clock at night. Real prayer meetings. It was just so wonderful. I've been really blessed. And I'll never be satisfied until we see the Holy Ghost moving in a mighty way in our midst. Who wants to see that? That's what we need. So we see a great falling away. We're living in a pleasure-seeking age. People are after everything. You always hear that saying in everything you see. Have a great experience, they say. That ain't even what an experience is. They have a great experience, and all advertising is to appeal to the five senses. See, taste, feel and smell. And, you know, all those things, it's all trying to appeal to that. Never satisfy you. Inside of you, if you're a child of God, you've got a burning desire to get close to God and fill with His Spirit. We're living in the days of sodomy. Love is a pleasure more than lovers of God. On the increase, we see unprecedented scale in governments and an army and churches. Immorality. It's a terrible thing, brother and sister. I know all I can say is the coming of the Lord is at the door. When our own Prime Minister is a fornicator and she's having children by a man she's not even engaged to. And everyone says, oh, this is so lovely. I think it's terrible. Nothing against the child, not against that, even against the Prime Minister. But it's just a condition of the age we're living in. All that the Bible said, all I can say, we're at the doors of His coming. It's all because they've rejected the gospel. No one preaches the gospel. You know, I just say this because you know I know him, but Winston Peters, I've spoken to him on that. He's a good friend of Mickey and Mary Clark. And he knows the gospel. He knows what the Bible says. And he elected to have this woman, child basically, 3 years younger than my daughter. But that's okay. And to have somebody in there that's ungodly, the whole nation is running after him, after the error of Balaam. That's what we've got, brother and sister. We're here. And I can say we need to be ready. We need to be ready. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, we see, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, it is deceiving. They're absolutely deceived about it. And them that perish, because they received not a love for the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They actually believe a lie. They believe these things are okay. They are not, and they're going to bring the judgment of God upon the on this country. It's not just New Zealand, it's everywhere. I'm leaving it right there. So that is a warning to us all not to turn down the revealed word of God for this day. Let us take courage. He is with His bride. Hallelujah. He is with His bride. And that not everybody that listens to the tapes. The bride are those that are filled with the Spirit of God, living for Him. And He will never forsake her. God will never forsake me. He's never going to forsake you, Brother Brian. You're His. Isn't that wonderful? That's it. He doesn't change his mind. Oh, I'm not sure about Brian and Don. Oh, I'm not too sure about them. No. When He chooses you, He chooses you. He doesn't throw you away and says, oh, well, no, I changed my mind. No. He's ours. In question and answers, it says, the bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. We're entering that now. The bride goes to glory, and the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin. This is the last church age, he says. It's the end of church ages, Laodicea. It hasn't ended. When it ends, the church is gone. When we go, the Laodicean church age is finished. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that is filthy still. He that is righteous still. And he that is holy still. Brothers and sisters, you know what we need to do? Keep our eyes fixed on our Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. This is for you, brother, sister. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Did you know that was in the Old Testament? Isn't that wonderful? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that wonderful? God is going to be with his bride to the end of this world, to the end of the time, and we'll be raptured out of here. I just pray that you're all going to be there. Not because you come to this church, but because you've met the Lord and he's truly taken over your life. And how we need to witness and testify, Brother Pastor, as you said a while ago, such a big thing. We are the only representatives left. Who's going to stand up for Jesus in this godless, lukewarm church age? I want to read you a couple of readings before we close. And it's found in Jude. Because it really lays out this hour that we're living in. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. You know, brother and sister, I want to say this. Sexual sin is controlling this world big time. It's really dangerous. And the Bible says we need to flee it. Run for your lives. Have nothing to do with it. Don't expose yourself to it any way at all. Even visually or anything like that, pictures or anything, stay right away from it. Because it's a demon. It's a real demon on the age. Now listen, this is what the forecast is. They're giving themselves over to fornication, living with people they're not even married to, like the Prime Minister. I'm not picking on her. It's down our streets. It's everywhere. And going after strange flesh. Strange flesh means it's not your husband or your wife. It's somebody else. Are set forth as an example of suffering for vengeance of eternal fire. I tell you what, there's a very poor reward for that. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. People spout off things they don't know not what they're speaking of. The Bible said it'd be like that. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, the Bible calls them brute beasts, that's the way they live. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity or love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, no conviction. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. This is about our day. This is a forecast of today by the word of God. Plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It's reserved for them. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, hallelujah, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, speaking evil, hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They're political people. They like to be seen and taken note of. But, beloved, remember ye the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you ye should be mockers in the last time. That's now. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, worldly, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to pray. We need the Spirit of God to pray through us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and for some having compassion, making a difference, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So there's going to be people who are saved by fear. They don't want to go to hell, and they get right with God. Well, God saves them. God will bless them for that, because, you know, they believe. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Who's glad of that? Oh boy. God's able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless. Isn't that wonderful? Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a day. To the only wise God and our Saviour be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You talk about a prophecy. There it is. You want people say, what's going to happen in the last day? Read that Jude. Read it for yourself. Jude chapter 1 tells you everything. And you can tell it's exactly right on target. It's exactly as the world is. What about Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 before we close? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything is consisting because of God. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Who loves the word reconciliation? You know why it's reconciled? Because we belonged to God in the beginning. We were lost through sin, and he's reconciling us back into the family. Isn't that wonderful? That wonderful incorruptible seed, he's going to reconcile it back to himself in the body of his flesh through death at Calvary, to present you holy. Isn't that wonderful? Present us holy We won't be coming cap in hand saying, oh, I'm unworthy. You are unworthy, but he's made you holy through the blood of Jesus. We are holy this afternoon by the blood of Jesus Christ. Unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Who knows what unreprovable means? Unable to be corrected. Wow. Unable to correct you because God sees you perfect in him. I love it. Who loves the gospel? This is the gospel we need. We need this gospel, sister, brother. We need it to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in sight. If you continue in the flesh, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, this is the gospel we preach, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Therefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. All I can say, brothers and sisters, in this closing age, if we're not here next Sunday, I believe we'll be in glory. I believe it's that close. I'm serious. We think this is going to go on and on. I'm not sure about that. But we're at the end. The Bible speaks about it. Let us continue grounded and settled, unmovable from the hope of the gospel. Let's just preach the gospel. Preach it straight and pure. Let's not get all caught up in a lot of highfalutin ideas. Just get back to the gospel and that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer and he's made us holy and unblameable in his sight and unreprovable. I love the gospel. Who loves it? Shall we just stand for prayer? Jesus said, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. And I believe he's here this afternoon for those that love him. And he's with us to bring us through to that wedding supper of the Lamb. I just want to be seated around that table. I can see that table and I can see my name on it. It's written in with a gold surroundings. Howard Searle. Now, I believe there'll be other Howard Searles there, but this Howard Searles will be there too. We'll have a new name in glory. It won't be two Lee Searles. No, we'll have new names. And we'll know the language instantly. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we're going to sing a song. What is it, Brother Peter?
Jude chapter 1.
Do you know that one? Okay. You go, Brother Peter. Is it just the words? Jude chapter 1? Oh, yeah. Jude chapter 1, Nancy. The one I quoted. First one. Which verse is it, Brother Peter? Verse 24, okay. Now unto him able to keep you, to keep you from falling, to I'd like to learn that though. That'd be a good one to learn, Brother Peter. Has anyone got another one? That's all we need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
sing it again from the start.
He's all I need. He's all.
I was thinking, what's the answer to all of this when you were going through all the the forecast, you know? And then I thought it was just so fitting. He's all I need.
Amen.
So let's just close in prayer this morning, or this afternoon rather. Precious Jesus, Lord, Lord, we know you had that question, Lord, will you find faith on the earth, Lord? Lord, I believe, Lord, you'll find it, Lord, and I believe you'll find it here, Lord, this afternoon, Lord. And we believe you, Lord Jesus. We'll raise our hands, Lord, and say, I believe you, Lord Jesus. And we'll just take your word, Lord, and what you said, Lord, and we'll just hold on to it, Lord. And we just thank you that you're holding us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray a blessing upon each one here this afternoon, Lord, that you would go with us into the week, Lord. And you know the trials that we face, Lord, of this world, Lord. We know you didn't pull us from them, Lord, but you said you would go with us through them, Lord. And we thank you for that. And I just pray a blessing on each one here now. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.